in Atlanta, I almost got kidnapped. Literally got kidnapped. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but yeah, I almost got kidnapped. But God sent three people. I've never met these people in my life, but they just happened to be there. Was two women and one man, and I will always remember it to this day. And they rescued me. The man that tried to kidnap me wanted to steal my passport, wanted to steal the money I had in my purse at the time, and was going to take me. And I could have been sold to human trafficking.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. It's been a long time.
Yeah, welcome back to Millennial Talks. It's been about how many months now?
It's been 6 months since we've spoken to you guys.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm sure y'all are wondering what happened, where we are. We have a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah.
We left on bad terms.
We did.
You understand? Those that were here understand.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the first episode back.
Yep.
And just like how people say, new year, new me. You guys are going to get a different set of people now.
Yeah.
We're not the same people that we were. You know, in those previous videos, the last two videos, we still kept the videos up because we want you guys to see
growth.
The evolution.
Growth.
You understand?
For
so,
sure.
For those that have been following us on Instagram still and peep the transformation, I'm sure you already know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
This video is going to be about our coming to Christ transformation.
Right.
So we're going to tap on different aspects of our lives where we experience God and what led us to this place today. So, you know, it's a reintroduction.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. So.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So, I mean, ladies first, you tell me how... If I was to just meet you today, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell who is Susan and who is God to Susan and why is God important to her?
So I'm Susan Agley. So this is basically going to be my testimony. As you guys have noticed, especially on my platform, I have been speaking more about the truth and picking up my Bible. It took a lot for me to even speak up because when you follow Christ and you truly follow Christ and you actually pick up your cross, it is the hardest thing to do because people are going to persecute you for your love of Christ. You know, a lot of people say they worship God, but they worship the idea of their own God. And they're not worshiping God of the Bible or Christ of the Bible, because when you follow Christ, you will be persecuted for him. So I'm going to do like a recap of me. A lot of my followers, I'm not sure how deep our relationship goes, but I don't think you guys have really ever heard like the evolution of Susan. So, you know, I grew up in the church. My father was a pastor. We used to go to church all the time. And I grew up in a broken home, a very, very broken home. I grew up in an abusive home. I was getting mentally abused, physically abused for majority of my life since I was a baby. And I know that because my father told me. So I had a sense of rejection. I felt very much so rejected. So once my family got visa to come to America, I was bullied. And I got bullied really, really bad. To the point that at 9 years old, I wanted to kill myself. I no longer wanted to be here anymore. I tried to drown myself, but I was like, nah, that's too much. Like, I did, but it didn't pan out. But yeah, I tried to drown myself 9 years old. And then, like, family issues started when I got to middle school, you know, lived with my mom only, and then I started to be a little bit more, you know, pompous. Well, not pompous, but I was like, yeah, I'm gonna defend myself because I was from Riverdale, give him hell.
Yeah.
I was from Riverdale, giving hell. So once I got to high school, you know, I knew how to defend myself, but I was kind of like, you know, I wanted to be famous. That was like a big goal of mine, was to be famous. I used to see like video vixens living like lavish lives and celebrities living lavish lives, and I wanted to attain that. So I started smoking weed once my parents, like when my parents divorced. The divorce took a toll on me because they kind of dragged me in the middle of it. So I was always in the middle of that situation, and it just mentally decapitated me. I had resentment in my heart for families, mother. I had big resentment, especially for my mom, because like she used to abuse me. So like I felt like God put me in this family for me to suffer. So I had resentment in my heart. I started smoking weed, hanging out with the wrong crowds, you know, skipping school. I skipped school bad. Like, y'all talk about senioritis. I had senior don't come to school. Like, I had senior do not come to school. No, I was doing good. No, freshman year, I was straight. I think once my parents separated was when, like, I fell into the wrong hands. And I remember, like, the first day I smoked weed, it was spiritual. It was spiritual, because I felt like I was dying. I was like hallucinating. I was going crazy. Like, I was like, no, I'm never doing this again. God, please forgive me. Because I knew God. You know, it's not like I never knew God. I knew God. And I read my word. Like, I knew God. Once I turned like 17, you know, after skipping, my dad came to school and he spoke to my teacher and they passed me. Crazy stuff. I skipped and I wasn't meant to graduate, but I took one test and I actually passed. I got an A in it. And I graduated. And I graduated high school, but I went to college, and while I was in college, I was like, "Nah, I want to be a video vixen. I want to be famous." I was like, "I want to be famous. Like, I don't care. I want to be famous."
You wanted to be too big for your bridges.
Yeah, so then I dropped out of school. I was like, "School don't got nothing for me. I'm not going to be successful here. I'm going to be successful once I become a model, once I become famous." So then I moved to Atlanta. At the age of 18, I ran away to Atlanta. And my dad put a missing child report for me. And I told the police, and they were like, "Well, you're 18, ain't nothing we can do about it." So I was just like, you know what?
Sheesh.
I'm going to be out here, and I'm going to work at Magic City, be a bartender. I was very zealous. Like, I wanted, there was a lifestyle that I wanted, and I chased it.
What made you want that lifestyle?
I think the glitz and glam of it. It looked beautiful. It looked luxurious. Like, being able to just be known for your beauty. I knew I was beautiful, so I was going to use my beauty to move up in life.
What was deep down? You know, like everybody...
The deep down thing was proven to my bullies that I am hot stuff. I wanted to prove to my mom that I am great. I wanted to prove to my bullies that I am good. I wanted to prove to them that I do belong. I do belong. There is nothing wrong with me. You just can't see. So then, you know, in Atlanta, I almost got kidnapped. Literally got kidnapped. I'm not gonna go too deep into it, but yeah, I almost got kidnapped. But God sent three people. I've never met these people in my life, but they just happened to be there. Was two women and one man, and I will always remember it to this day. And they rescued me. The man that tried to kidnap me wanted to steal my passport, wanted to steal the money I had in my purse at the time, and was gonna take me. And I could have been sold to human trafficking. Anything could have happened. Who the heck do I know in Atlanta that I'm in Atlanta trying to be a video vixen, bro? So, like I said, I wanted to work at Magic City. There was this one person, and I always remember him. He was actually the web designer for Drea Michelle. This was when she first started Mint Swim. And I remember him. I forgot his name by now, but he told me, he was like, "What are you doing in Atlanta, bro? You need to go back to your parents. You need to go back home." He was like, "You don't need to work at Magic City." I was like, "But I just want to be a bartender. I just want to be a server." He was like, "You're not just going to only be a bartender. You're going to see the money they're making, and you're going to fall into the nightlife. And you're too young. and he was Nigerian. So he was like, he spoke to me like a brother. And he was like, "You're too young. Like, you don't need to be out here. You're a baby." So
How old were you?
I was 18.
Oh, that's young. That's young.
I was 18. Yeah. So I heeded his warning, and I moved back home. Once I moved back home, things were still rocky. You know, my dad welcomed me with open arms, but I still felt empty. I felt really empty. So in that moment, I got on my knees, and I cried out to God, and I asked him to forgive me. And I've never sobbed that hard in my life. I sobbed, cried, and then I had a friend from high school like reach out to me. It was like, you know, God loves you and God wanted me to tell you this stuff. So I listened to what that friend said. I started going to church with them. You know, to this day, I'm still grateful that those people reached out to me because they did save me. So then another journey started. I was focusing on God, and that's when I met him, my best friend. He walked into my life when I was chasing God. I wasn't looking for no husband. I wasn't looking for no man. I was looking for God. That's it. That is all. But then the church kind of started to turn their back on us, and they started to attack and persecute. So me being raised in a home that felt rejected and felt persecution and always felt hurt by people, I saw that as, nah, they're not going to stop me. They're not going to, this is my husband. I know he's my husband. I could feel it in my soul, my heart, everything. That's my husband. And once they like turned their back on us and they started to persecute me, I said, this just reminds me of how I grew up. I don't want anything to do with them. I don't want anything to do with the church. Situation happened. I no longer interacted with that family anymore. And then, you know, I moved to Texas. And I think that this time I was like, what, 20, 21? Yeah, 21.
21?
Yeah.
Maybe 20, 22.
No, because you were 20.
Yeah, we did a year.
Long distance.
Yeah, man, this was ordained by God, so.
So, yeah, 21. So I moved to Texas, 21. And in that year, me and Roland, I already started backsliding because I fell into sexual sin. But me and Roland knew that we wanted to get married to each other. Like, we knew that God put us together. So I was working at that time. I was focused on, you know, working. And at that time, I kind of forsook God. I'm not going to lie to you. God stopped being top of my priority and life became my priority. I started looking at other ways of, you know, making money. And I was a makeup artist at the time. So I was making money. And then I was actually supposed to move to Maryland. And we were gonna get an apartment together, you know, but it didn't pan out that way. And something happened in Roland's life that he had to move to Texas with me. So we ended up moving together. In the first 2 years of our relationship, it was hard. But one thing we knew is that we didn't want to shack up. And I remembered Roland asking my stepdad for my hand in marriage, and they said yeah. And you know, I was told that we would have a wedding, blah blah. So I was like, yes, you know, I've always wanted to be with him. I won't be sinning. So I want to get married. So we tried to get married the first time. They didn't have anything, like,
yeah, the judge wasn't even
available. So yeah. On my birthday, actually, which was on the 21st, yeah, on my birthday, on my 23rd birthday, was actually the day that a judge actually married us, and we got married in front of strangers.
Bro, that was crazy. Yeah, because I think it was like they had like a hearing.
Yeah, and he married us. Like,
it was just like, because he was mid hearing with other people, right?
Yeah,
and he was like, there's a couple that wants to get married.
Yeah,
and then like we're just standing facing each other in front of, like, I'm talking about like 30 people, and they're just
strangers.
Like, some people's faces were like, oh, some was like,
what the heck?
Like, and then we made it happen, but like at that second,
it felt like we just were doing the right thing
in our own little bubble. You feel me? So, yeah.
Yeah. So we got married with just us, and then I think trials started. I think that's when things got really hard. I became super depressed. Working at the job that I was working at. And at that time, I started doing like a little bit of YouTube videos. Like, I was, you know, I started reviewing like synthetic hair, curly hair, like all that type of stuff. So Then, when I became depressed, the depression overtook me to the point that I became paralyzed. I couldn't get up from bed and go to work. Like, I felt super depressed. So then, I quit my job. After quitting my job, Roland was like the sole breadwinner of the house, and he was kind of taking care of everything. He got transferred to North Park Mall, which was in Dallas. So then...
Yeah, we worked at Nordstrom.
Yeah, we worked at... We both worked at Nordstrom at the time.
Yeah, so the promotion was like... I was selling regular price shoes. Mm-hmm. $50 pair of shoes to like promotion to like selling like $300 pair of shoes, sometimes $1,000 pair of shoes.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got a promotion. So then we had to move to Dallas. And when we moved to Dallas, we moved to the hood.
Yo, if we could find a picture of that place, we'll put it right here.
We moved to the hood.
It was wild.
It was Gilman Street in Dallas, bro.
Trenches.
We moved to the trenches of Dallas. But at that time, like, you know, we didn't have no money. I mean, we were like 20. Well, Roland was 22. I was 23. And we struggled. We struggled. Like, plain as day, we struggled. And when I say struggle, I mean struggled.
Sleeping on the floor.
Sleeping on the floor, struggled. You know, and I was reviewing here and reviewing things, but at that time, you weren't charging companies to promote their stuff. So I was just like, I would get wigs and I would sell it, and whatever money I could make from it, I'll use it to pay my bills. Whew. So we were still smoking weed. Actually, no, I think Roland didn't start smoking. Yeah, we didn't start.
I mean, let's be real. You occasionally did it.
With my cousin. Yeah, that's what I started to backslide with friends and family.
I've always been that type of person at that point, though.
Yeah.
Where I was just not that because I just...
So, like, the demon that I got delivered from, which was the weed addiction, came back. It came back. So I started to smoke with my friends and drink with my friends. I started partying, and I was just backsliding. Like... backsliding. So I remember I always remember this one moment where me and Roland had a conversation in Dallas, and he was so broken because he couldn't take care of the family the way he wanted to. And he told me, he was like, why do you want to stay here? Why don't you go to somebody that could fully take care of you? Because I can't do that. And I told him that I want to be with you. And if we have to suffer and be homeless, I'll be homeless with you. And I was willing to just stick it through because I loved him. And I knew that whatever we were going through wouldn't last forever, you know? So in Dallas, you know, we were staying there. And then I knew a friend in H-Town, Houston. And we started to get close to God. So she was like, you know, you guys can move to Houston. You can stay with us. You know, two of you guys are able to get on your feet. I'll help you get a job. All these promises. So then we're like, you know what? It's okay. I think Houston will be a nice change, okay? So, like, let's pack our stuff and go. We didn't really have anything holding us down to Dallas. We're kind of going through life by ourselves anyway. Nobody was really helping us out. So then we moved to Houston with a friend. We were very grateful, you know, thankful for the help that person rendered. And then the next day, the person tells us, well, your lease is going to be up in 3 months, and we have to figure out something.
3 weeks.
And we had to figure out something. A situation happened, and we no longer could live in that place anymore. Because the person kicked us out.
They just kicked us out.
We're not going to go too deep into it.
Yeah.
So then, you know, Lord and behold, we were able to get an apartment with a roommate. And this is when we lived in our apartment, our first apartment in Houston. And we didn't have any money. But God is so good. Roland booked like a wedding, and they paid him like more than we needed for rent and to furnish our apartment. So we were able to furnish the apartment and have a bed. At that time, I wasn't really charging companies that much. I was probably charging like $200, $300. So I wasn't really making that much money. So I ended up going to get a job. I started working as a real estate agent. I'm not real estate, a leasing agent. And I became super, super sad because my life wasn't panning out the way I thought it would. So then I started to do YouTube. I was like still pumping out content, doing YouTube. And then I wanted to have surgery because people started to like make fun of like body parts of mine. They started to make fun of my breasts. They said it was too big. They started to make fun of my body. So I had a lot of like body issues. So then I was like, I want to get a BBL. Mind you, I'm not hearing from God. At this point, if the Holy Spirit could talk to me, there's no way I could hear because I'm so disconnected. Because I'm sinning. I am doing things that craved that my flesh loved. So I couldn't hear from God. So then I got a BBL, and in that moment I was like, I don't care if I die. This is gonna change my life. So I did. I got the BBL, and I thought it was gonna make me happy. And it did for a little bit. So then I started to dabble in a lot of things that I shouldn't have. I became very self-obsessed. I got obsessed with beauty and vanity. I started to take pictures every single day. I was like, I'm going to push this hard. So I started to like take pictures, and I still had the same heart that God gave me, which is a kind heart. But I also wanted to do what pleased me at the time. So I started taking pictures, and I became very zealous of wanting to be famous. That desire that I had when I was 18, 19 came back again. So I was working my freaking butt off. My flesh was mad at the people that hurt me from church. So I made a video about it, and I didn't expect it to do what it did, but it ended up blowing up. Whew.
Man.
It was literally like I kicked a lantern.
It's like World War IV.
It was bad. And honestly, that was just my flesh being angry at the church. But honestly, I wish I had the wisdom that I have now then, because that was unnecessary. And I apologize to those people for doing that. Because at the end of the day, nobody's perfect. And as you walk in this walk with Christ, you know that people fall short. Nobody's perfect. That's why we need a savior. Because we're not perfect. So 2020, me and my husband started blowing up out of nowhere. And at that time also, I was making beautiful amount of money. I was making money. Like
stupid
money. Like enough money that, yeah, like I could I was making above average. Above most minimum wage.
Make more than college graduates.
Yeah, I was making a lot of money. So, me and Roland started blowing up. Like, I'm like, dang, like, we are going viral. We started going viral. But I still felt empty. I felt very empty. I still felt very empty. And I just could not understand it. I'm just like, what the heck, Susan? We're hitting, we're moving on up. We're going up in the ladder. Why do I feel so empty? So I ignore it. So then the pandemic started. And I'm like, oh my God, it's the end of the world. I just knew it. I said, this is the time. This is the time that God has been preparing me for. This, the end of the world is here. You know, 2020. And I still wasn't like chasing after God, so I was still chasing after my own flesh, you know, so to speak. So
it was clubbing.
I was still clubbing. I was still drinking. I was still smoking. We were like, woo, you know, just
vibing it out.
Just vibes. Just straight up vibes, you know. And I was looking for spirituality in different places that wasn't of God. I looked for it in crystals. I looked for it in all these things, manifestation, all this stuff. I looked for it in those things and still felt empty. Everything that I could have wanted still felt empty. So 2021 hits, and we lived in Austin at the time, and I think that was a time that we needed to take a step back from life.
Okay, before you touch on that too, right? Notice that we moved Fort Worth,
Dallas,
Houston. Yeah. I mean, Fort Worth, Dallas.
Houston, Dallas,
Austin, Houston today, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you don't have God in your life,
you're directionless.
You are operate under a spirit of confusion. There's no direction in life whatsoever.
Not at all.
And half the time when you think you're listening from God, if you're dabbling in anything that has to do with the occult and anything that's not of God, you are not being directed by God. But that's all I wanted to say. Yeah. Just in case y'all keep, you know, you hear Dallas, Austin, all these different things. So
okay, so now we're in Austin. And I got interested in crystals. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to get some crystals. And crystals is going to help manifest all this stuff. And you know what's so funny? I walk into the crystal shop, right? And as I'm looking at crystals, I'm looking at the people that work there. And I'm just like, their energy is off. Why would they be selling crystals? If crystals is supposed to be good and all this type of stuff, why are these people's energy off? Why do they I could just see their energy being dark and just off. So I'm just like, whatever, I'm just gonna come here, buy my crystal, and, you know, skedaddle.
Right.
Well, we're in Austin, you know, we still felt empty there. It felt empty, you know, I made good money. It was a beautiful place. But I was just like, God did not send us here. And I'm gonna be real as day. God did not send us here because we started to dabble in marijuana. After that, we moved back to Houston. And it took a lot of, like, courage to move back to Houston because we knew that people were going to talk and have something to say because we were moving aimlessly. And we moved back to Houston. I was still partying, still smoking. No, actually, we stopped. We stopped smoking. We made, like, a covenant with us. I was like, we're going to stop smoking. Mm-hmm. So we stopped for a while.
I think we made, like, 6 months.
We did 6 months without smoking weed. But that's the thing, right? When there's a stronghold, yeah, you're going to stop. But you have to get delivered from stuff like that. You have to renounce those things. So then we started hanging out with some friends. And we fell back into smoking. And I fell back into partying, trying to prove myself, trying to look cool. I wanted to look cool. I wanted people to see that I have friends. I wanted people to see that I'm dope. Like, oh my gosh, look at me, I'm dope. But I felt empty. Fast forward, I got back from my trip with my friends, and I thought that was gonna fill that hole that I thought that was literally gonna fill the hole. And I think that I just sunk into a state of depression. I was so sad. And I could not figure out what it was. I could not for the life of me. So then I happened to have gone to the nail shop to go get my nails done. Because I always get my nails done. I'm sorry. I love getting my nails done. I hate the process, but I always get my nails done. Anyways. So there was this young lady that was sitting next to me. And, you know, she was talking to me. But I was just like, I don't really like talking to people because, like, whenever I'm by myself, I like to be by myself, like, rolling nose. Like, I'd be quiet.
She's like me now.
Yeah, you'd start to become like your partner. So the young lady starts talking to me, and, like, she starts talking about God, and I'm just like, whoa. So I'm like, okay, let me exchange numbers with her. We could go grab something to eat. We exchange numbers, we go grab something to eat. And then she tells me about a prophecy that I received when I was actually 19. When I first gave my life to Christ, she told me about the said prophecy, and I'm just like, what the heck? And I get teary-eyed, and I'm just like, yo, what the heck? So then we finish our conversation, and I start heading home, and I feel like so happy. I felt different. I felt so different. So I'm just like, you know what? I need to pick up my word. Like, I want to get closer to God. So
this is in 2022, right?
This is in 2022, timeline wise. So then, I was on TikTok, and there was this young man that was on TikTok, and he was like, if you want to, this is Christian. I love Christian TikTok, but, I do. They are dope. Y'all keep up the good work. Honestly, you guys don't know who you're implanting or you're planting those seeds. So he was like, if you want to get close to God, read your word. Start with 10 chapters a day. He said, just do 10 chapters a day. And I'm just like, well, that's a challenge. I never knew God growing up. I knew him. I knew of him. But I never had a relationship with him. So I'm just like, you want to know what? I'm going to read my word. So I started from Genesis. And as I'm reading my word, I'm like, whoa. This is God. I never knew God. I thought I knew God. But with the lifestyle I was living, I was going straight to hell. So I started reading my word and I'm like, okay, I need to find a church. I started looking for churches, and then I found Pastor Stephen Darby, rest in peace. God bless that man. God bless. That is a man of God. That is a prophet of God. We started reading it, and I mean, watching his sermon, and you know, I introduced Roland to it. And then Roland's.
That's funny because I actually found his videos like 2 years ago, right?
Really?
And I told you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, one thing about him, he's not a sugarcoater.
No.
So his word will cut you.
Deep.
Right? But it cuts you into the right proportions.
Mm.
Right? It cuts you into where you need to heal. It's like cutting you and then the wound heals and you have like callus over it, but then you're also better as a person. So he's an acquired taste for someone that's never heard
the word of God.
Consequential preachings, right? We hear these things about you know, God got you all the time, but we never really hear about if you don't honor God in certain ways, you might get a little bit of a kick to the butt.
You get the wrath.
Exactly. So
you get the wrath of God. Yeah. A lot of pastors don't preach about the wrath of God, but only preach about the goodness of God. And listen to Pastor Stephen Darby. We're going to other churches and we're trying to find a church. And it was just like, yo, these prosperity doctrines gotta stop. Like, I need to hear the word. I want to hear the brutal word of God, because I'm reading my word, I'm reading my Bible, and God is like, if you sin, you're going to hell. Come to me, turn from your sin, repent, and all. And I'm hearing this, but like, these churches are like, God is going to bless you regardless. Nothing stops you from, for nothing stops God from loving you. And I'm just like, that's not God.
He loves you, but he's like a parent that, you know, if you say you're going to stop doing something, stop doing it.
He's gonna hold you to
it. So it's like, you can, don't lie to God's face.
Yeah.
You know, when you say, I'm sorry, God, I'm stop sinning, you show apologies through behavioral change and actions. It's not just word.
Right.
If someone was telling you, I'm gonna stop doing this, like someone was cheating on you.
Yeah.
You know, so
you don't truly love that person if you're not gonna heed to their warnings. So then, you know, start going to church, and now the desire for me to be an influencer starts to dwindle. It's like dwindling a little bit, and it's not fulfilling anymore. I don't feel fulfilled. So I'm trying to uphold my
your image,
the image that I want to be, and then there's the image that God wants to be. And God is telling me that you need to preach the word, you need to speak the truth. And I'm just like, but God, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, you know. And you know, it's like, I didn't want to die to myself and pick up my cross, because I was like, I worked so hard to build this platform. I gave my blood and sweat to this platform. God, is this really what you want? So then I start to look for other things to fulfill me, because I do want to work for the kingdom of God. And the desire of vlogging my life and doing all these things, it disappears. I stopped caring. I stopped desiring those things. And I'm just like, God, what do you want me to do? So then I became more and more and more opinionated. I started saying what I wanted to say. And we're just going to skip forward to the future.
We'll speak about it.
We'll speak about it. Like, you know, after this. But I started saying what I want to say. And, you know, the first time I got persecuted by people, I was sad. This second time, I feel like the Holy Spirit got me. And I'm just like, nah, I said what I said. And it's like the authority of God is working through me. And I was like, you want to know what, God? This entire time I've been trying to save my life, but you said that those that lose their life for my sake will be saved, and those that save their life will lose their life. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna pick up my cross. And this podcast that you want me to start, this ministry that you want me to start, I'm going to do it. I surrender to you. I give you my life. I give you my all. Because I could have all the money and all the influence in this world. But if I'm not doing my Father's will, I am wasting my time. This body will pass. And I think that in the journey, even though I didn't go so in depth with everything, I'm sure you guys understand that my entire life I've been longing to belong because I was rejected from the day I was born. And because of that rejection, the devil wanted to use it against me. All those beauty does not matter if you don't have God. And I hope this testimony, because Roland's about to share his real soon.
Yeah, it's going to be in a different video.
You sure?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. I hope this testimony touches you guys. Because there is a rise of self-idolization that's coming. And a lot of young people are being lied to by the devil that the self-idolization is going to bring fulfillment. And I'm telling you right now, it's never going to bring fulfillment. True fulfillment comes from God, and it comes from obeying and doing His will. Because I promise you, this world will pass, but the Word of God will live forever and ever.
Amen.
So, yeah, that's a portion of my testimony.
Yeah, and I'm going to just address something really quick.
Okay.
When you see someone in a new light as an outsider, you may think that this is just a phase. It's not a phase when you know as a person that when we all go through something, we also go through a certain level of transformation in our life that changes our mindset. It's easy for me or anybody out there to get drunk, indulge in things, right? But it's more of a testament when you stop doing those things, when you know that there's something better out there for you.
Right.
Right? So we've had a few people say, oh, this little phase that you're on, yeah, that's cool. All I'm going to say is this. Watch. Just watch. If we prove you wrong, it is what it is. If we prove you right, you have more mouth to speak. But I can guarantee you this is not a phase. Okay? We all have it in us to do what is easiest. This is not an easy thing. So, for those that have this mouth to speak about, oh, this is just a phase, y'all. You know, you think you're better. It's okay. Just watch. That's the most respectful thing I can say. Just watch. And you have your opinions down the line. But for now, just watch. You know, observe us. Take notes on everything we say. Take notes on everything we do.
Yeah.
Just observe.
Yeah.
And come up with your own deductions from that point. That's all I have to say.
Also, I want to say that God is waking up His children. There is a call that's going out. I actually watched these two young ladies, listen to these two young ladies' podcasts. And I'm going to link them down below, especially for young women. Because I think that their podcast, their testimony, oh God, God is so good. Their testimony will be able to help you guys understand the delusion that the devil has put on us, especially young women. The delusion. I was operating in the spirit of Jezebel. I was operating in the spirit of the Marine Kingdom. I was working for the devil. I was a worker of the devil. When I did my BBL, that was me operating in the spirit of Jezebel. And I regret me ever broadcasting that. Because I, at some point, was working for the kingdom of darkness. And when you're in that moment, you don't really think about what you're doing And like I said in my video on my platform, on my YouTube, I said that when you backslide, it's never a small thing. It's never a slow, it's never a fast thing. It's a slow and gradual process. And I want you people, I want you, especially women, young women, I want you guys to listen to their podcast. I'm going to link it in the description down below. When I heard it, I wanted to cry because I'm like, dang, that's the same thing I went through. But God is so merciful. God is so merciful. America is asleep. America is asleep because they truly believe that there is no demonic realm when it's in your face. Satan is showing you. And we are so deluded. America is asleep. The kingdom of darkness is at work. And to the Christians that are out there, you can't be on the fence. You cannot be on the fence because the fence belongs to the devil. So you're either going to choose God or you're going to choose the devil. And you have to be bold. Persecution will come. I'm willing to die for the gospel. And that's as real as it can be. I'm willing to die for God. If it comes down to that. I'm willing to die for that. If everybody wants to not follow me anymore. I'm willing to lose it all for God. Because I had it all. And I felt like I had nothing. So now I have him. And I don't need all that. As Christians, the Bible said, pick up your cross and follow me. Following Jesus Christ is not an easy thing. It's a necessary thing. So we cannot be on the fence and be lukewarm. Because Jesus said that you're either hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out. If you deny me in front of these people, I will deny you in front of my Father. And I'm coming on this platform to say that I choose Jesus. Throw the stone. Bash me. Make fun of my past. It's okay. I'm standing by his grace, by his love. And I want you guys to know that God loves you. Hell was not made for humans. It was made for Satan and his minions. And God does not want us to go there. And when I was living the life that I was living, I was on a fast track to hell. But I was deluded. Because I remember Roland asked me, he was like, do you think you're going to go to heaven? And I said, yeah. Mind you, I was sinning. I was drinking. I was smoking. I was listening to secular music. I was literally working for the kingdom of darkness. And I was so deluded that I was going to go to heaven. Don't let Satan rock you to sleep, bro. It's time to wake up. Choose this day who you're going to serve. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, so...
stay tuned for part two because Roland's podcast is amazing. I mean, not podcast. Stay tuned for part two because Roland's testimony is amazing. You guys have to hear it.
Let's go.
Yeah, so
thanks for watching.
Thank you guys so much for watching.
Yeah,
and we'll see you guys on Thursday. Is it Thursday? When's the uploading days? Can you let them know uploading days?
Sundays between 3 to 5 p.m. and Thursdays between 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah.
So you know, on Sunday afternoon when you have nothing to do, when you're scrolling on your phone getting ready mentally for work, you can watch us.
Yeah.
And Wednesday on Thursday, you know, after you've just like mentally checked out of work, put it on TV or something.
Yeah,
you
know, and we're gonna have this on. We're gonna see if podcast, we could get it on podcast so y'all could like.
No,
listen.
We will. It's not even.
Yeah.
We will.
We're gonna have this on podcast so you guys could listen to us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Roland's testimony is gonna be the next one, and then we're gonna tackle this whole manifestation thing after because it's a discussion that needs to be had. Just know that I love you guys so much. God bless you guys for listening to this testimony. God loves you guys so much, and you know, lean on God. Lean on God. Give God the chance to work in your life. And you'll see how miraculous things will change for you. Because at some point we were directionless. Because we wanted to be our own God. And without God, you're just working backwards. You're building a house on the sand. It will sink. So, yeah. I hope you guys enjoy it, and I'll catch you guys later.